When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, here we are with another out-of-theater review. I was going to say reaction, but no, this is our full-on blockbuster mentality review.
We are reacting.
I guess we are reacting.
We haven't really... I mean, we're about 10 minutes after walking out of the theater.
Yeah, it's hard to do a review without mulling it over, you know, digesting it, all that jazz. But yeah, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan's latest film... One of our most anticipated films of the year. I feel like I've been saying that every review lately. Most anticipated movie of the year, but
probably my number one most anticipated. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mission Impossible, Indiana Jones, those were all up there with for me. But yeah, this one, 100%. I mean, other than Barbie, you know, that's that's next. Maybe we'll see.
You're really all about that Barbie movie.
Well, again, can't get over how they're being released the same weekend.
Yeah.
And the screening, the press screening was the same night, so we had to pick one. Obviously, we're going to pick Oppenheimer. But yeah, just can't get over this whole sitch. And it's probably the most eager I've been wanting to see box office results after this weekend, just to see what, you know, the results will be, just... Because, yeah, I still have no idea whether it'll be Oppenheimer or Barbie on top.
Well, I think Barbie, it's a meme movie, and it's colorful, and there's pretty girls, and they're singing and dancing, so I think you're going to attract a more general audience.
Yeah, it's more of a chick flick.
Yeah,
so.
And this is a 3-hour versus Oppenheimer, which is really, it's not quite a biopic, but pretty close, right?
Yeah,
and it's 3 hours.
I would call it an epic, a 3-hour epic, as they say.
And the subject matter, which I think probably doesn't appeal to a general audience because they might not even know what the movie's about. They might not even be familiar with who Robert Oppenheimer was.
Right.
And certainly I think the way, maybe this is the way I'll begin my thoughts, is it the movie is, to describe this movie as the making of the atomic bomb, is only sort of half true. There's a whole kind of other aftermath story that goes on, and we've seen the like the black and white versus color, and I think Nolan said something to the effect that the black and white is true to historical record, whereas the color was where we're taking some creative license.
Yeah, the color was basically first person.
Right.
It was Oppenheimer's perspective.
Yeah, that's a better way to describe it. Yeah.
The black and white, was actually what happened. That's why, I was about to say a spoiler, so never mind.
But. Yeah, we're trying to, we'll do no spoilers here.
Yeah.
We saw this in 70 millimeter. And there was an actual film projector out back because we all checked. So we're all looking. The movie is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's totally going to get cinematography nominations, all that, you know, production design. Yeah, it's an amazing film to look at.
The dialogue, amazing as well. I mean, I think what I had a feeling that I was gonna watch this. And I was going to be engaged the entire time, visually, audio. There's always going to be, and that's what it was throughout the entire movie. I was never bored for the full runtime. What I would say is, everything other this there's like parallel stories that are going on. I don't really care that much for the secondary story, which is there's this whole like political subplot and like the kind of the legacy of Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And it goes into like security clearances and communist infiltration and spies and, sort of there's a betrayal, which I don't think is spoiling too much. It was all like well acted and everything looked good and the dialogue was well written. I just didn't really care about it too much. I could almost say, just remove that secondary story and you'd have 2 hours and 20 minutes of one of the best things you'll ever see.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about this movie, you're thinking, okay, atomic bomb. That's what I'm here for. Yeah. That's what I want to watch. And yeah, no, I'm with you there. Yeah, that whole subplot. Yeah, and it's basically
that's the Robert Downey.
Yeah,
Jr.
Robert
portion.
Downey yeah. Jr. parts are the. I wouldn't call it a subplot. It's definitely a plot to the movie. It's a secondary plot, like yeah. you said, I guess. Yeah, that yeah, it was just like. Yeah, I kind of want to get more to the atomic bomb stuff. Let's, you know, every time that came up. But it's still, yeah, well acted and was interesting how it kept going back and forth with the black and white and the color. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so, and again, the Robert Downey Jr. was fantastic. Like, he wasn't like his normal, like, sarcastic, like, Tony Stark self.
No, he was good. In fact, there was something out there I saw from him that... He said something to the effect of, I had to almost relearn acting or something like that, because he got so used to, like, playing, say, Tony Stark, it becomes easy and it becomes just, it's very one note, but if that's all you do, you kind of, like, haven't flexed your acting muscle
right.
as well. And yeah. I think there was some discussion with Nolan that Nolan was there to, like get me back to my form kind of a thing.
That makes sense, yeah, because I was talking last episode about Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise. Like, I want to see him back in, like, a drama.
Yeah,
you
we
know,
haven't
not
seen
just
that
action.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, we haven't seen that Tom Cruise, I don't think, since, like, the 90s, really. Like, he's been action movies this whole century. But, yeah, seeing Robert Downey Jr. in a different kind of setting, totally different character, was refreshing. And it was like, you know, you could really see what a great actor he is. But, yeah, I mean, to your point about that secondary plot, I mean... It does have me wanting to go research more about that and yeah. like look it up, because I had no idea a lot about a lot of what was going on. Like, I was lost a lot. There was, I guess that was my main problem with this movie. It wasn't very coherent to me, but it might just be I was just. There was so much going on that I couldn't keep up.
Yeah, there's
so
sort
I think
of
at
like,
a
yeah.
second watch.
I mean, I'm
going to give my review on my first watch, but on a second watch, I do think I'll comprehend it better and, you know,
no one doesn't
enjoy
make
it
easy
more.
On you, one, with the audio mixing, and two, he'll leave a thought incomplete.
Yes.
And leave it for you to figure out what's going on. I mean, even there's a lot going on with Florence Pugh character. She's not in it a lot. But there's it relating to the character. There's a whole story in there, and we just get glimpses of it.
Right. Yeah. There's a kind of chain reaction to what happens to her character,
yes.
and you know what eventually happens throughout the movie.
And she was great, I thought, for her small part. And we get sex scenes in this, which you're not used to in a Nolan movie.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. When that came up, I was like, okay, yeah, this is totally out of Nolan's
wheelhouse. Yeah.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino doesn't even do that.
I thought it was nice
weird.
To see, though.
It's nice
to
see.
I mean, not just that I liked seeing her naked, but it's nice that to see these kinds of. It's an adult story. Like, you know, people have sex. So. You know, this is what we used to get in a rated R movie, you know? So, and there's nothing to me that I thought it was perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, it made, yeah, I guess it yeah made sense to the story and his whole, where his head was at and
yeah.
the drama with, you know, who he ends up with, you know, with his wife. Emily Blunt plays his wife in this movie. So, yeah, you have that whole drama to be added. I thought Emily Blunt was great.
Yes, great. I mean, the whole cast was deep, deep bench of actors and actresses. Well, and they all did something in the movie that, you know, set them apart.
I will say, though, a lot of them, like, showed up. I'd say this movie was 2 hours 45 minutes. I'd say a lot of them showed up within the first 2 hours, and I'm like, man, they got all these big actors, but they don't have, you know, that big of parts. But then the last 45 minutes, like, that's when you get all, like, the great acting, and like they start, even like Rami Malek, like, I'm like, why do they have him in this movie?
Yeah.
And then he finally has a scene,
comes and does something.
Yeah, and yeah. But even Emily Blunt, you know, her scene, you know, towards the end was fantastic, and that was like, okay, now I see why she was in this movie.
That's a good point. We get sort of an introduction to set up something later. Yeah.
Right.
And then there's Matt Damon, who really gives some much-needed energy to the film.
Right.
I thought
yeah.
in the beginning. Because he
adds a little humor you know, to it.
Yeah. It's not clear where this movie's going in the beginning.
Right.
And it takes a little bit of time to find its legs, and then you realize, okay, this is more than just the story of creating the first A-bomb, which, as I kind of said, I was a little disappointed with that fact. I would have wanted more of the creation of the A-bomb. I wanted some, like, more details on how they actually made this thing. We get just kind of little glimpses and explanations of a few people's ideas, and you get sort of like, you know, all the famous scientists who worked on it, they're all in there. I would have almost preferred a movie where it was just, where it was less biopic, more like group challenge of all these scientists off in this place in New Mexico, as more of like an engineering challenge, and then dealing with that realization of what you're at, like you're a physicist and a scientist or an engineer, and you're drawn to almost an impossible problem, and you come together, you know, you can't resist to do it, but then you slowly realize, which we certainly got well done in this movie, and I don't think this is spoiling anything, the regret and the realization of what you're actually creating,
right,
kind of a thing. I would have preferred this movie did that.
Yeah, well, real quick, yeah, Dave wants to learn how to make a bomb. That's what I got from that. That's so watch out for his Google search history. But yeah, I like that you brought up the regret.
I was speaking as a character. Did I say I want to make a bomb? Did I say that?
That's just what I took from your you saying that. I wanted to see more how they made the bomb.
Dave, the physicist, wants to know how he can do that.
No, I mean, I'm with you there. I mean, I think I'll appreciate the political aspects and the other storyline more the more I watch it. But to your point about that, up until, I mean, obviously, I mean, they test the bomb in this movie. I mean, spoiler alert. You know, yes, they test the bomb. And then after that scene, like, that scene just was incredible. Like, it was just, I was just, like, sucked in and, like, nervous. Like, you know what's going to happen. Obviously, they test it and,
that was,
you know, everything's
brilliant.
Fine, we know. But, like...
Also, it came earlier than I thought it would come in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I thought that was, like, maybe at the two-hour mark, and then it seemed like the 45... After that, the last 45 minutes for me kind of drug a little. Like, it was like, and it was just a lot of stuff just being thrown at you, you know, different revelations, and I didn't know what was happening. Like, it was hard to understand.
I don't know if there's a way to really talk about it without spoiling it.
Right, exactly.
It's all contingent on just like a couple of plot points that are really stretched out.
But what you said about dealing with the regret and the being guilty, you know, or, you know, feeling guilt over it, I thought Cillian Murphy was the perfect choice for Oppenheimer.
Because
the stills with him, just his eyes and his emotions and his face, and just like, he is...
I'm so drawn to him.
Yeah.
When he's on the screen. Every other actor... I mean, we got a lot of close-ups in this movie, but whenever he was, you know, in a row of people, I'm just drawn to him, and everyone else just sort of melts away, and he stole this entire movie. He was Oppenheimer. You know what I mean? I mean, it was more than... He was really, like, deep into... whatever he was doing to tap into that character, it was so well done.
Yeah.
He was living it.
Yeah, I mean, this is 100% going to be an Oscar nomination for him, lead actor. I mean, I would almost bet the bank on it. I haven't seen all the other performances that'll come out, you know, this fall and stuff, but I would be 100% shocked if he's not at least nominated.
I think I'd agree with that. I could see one for Downey Jr.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say for supporting.
I could see that.
Possibly Emily Blunt for supporting actress. Just outstanding ensemble cast. I mean, just fantastic. I guess my main takeaway is just I'm mesmerized by the movie. I'm mesmerized by the look of it, the what's going on, and then the distractions for me are just not understanding what's happening. I don't know. I mean, were you having trouble? I know my wife, before we started recording, she's with us.
Yeah.
You know, said she, not to brag, she gets movies a lot and is ahead of the curve with that stuff. But she was having a hard time following as well. And we kept like whispering to each other, like, wait, so are we supposed to understand this? And she's like, I don't know. Like,
I think if it, The movie sort of assumes you know who all these historical people are.
Right, yeah.
I guess is maybe the best way I could describe it. So when he meets, like, Fermi, if you don't know who Fermi is, an Italian physicist or something, then you're like, okay, why do I care about this guy?
Right, yeah.
And then you're like, and that's where you start falling behind, because now you're just like, who, why, kind of thing. So I could see that. Nolan just figures you know all of this, and most people don't.
Yeah.
And even the Robert Downey Jr. character, I don't know who that was in real life. I've never heard of that person.
Something Strauss.
And it seemed so. Yes, I could definitely see that. And again, with the audio mixing, it's kind of hard to figure out what they're actually saying all the time. You don't get the whole sentence.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what it is with Christopher Nolan films. Is the sound is design is always not good.
But,
I mean, there was moments where there was amazing sound and stuff, like when the
it's just the mixing.
Yeah,
he mixes it a certain way, and that's what you're gonna get. I will say, well, the sound effects are amazing. One, two. I was very thankful we got a score that wasn't blowing your ears out for the entire runtime.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone away from that. I don't know who did the score here, but the score was great, and there was some really nice tension building moments with the score and some key moments.
Oh wow, it was Ludwig Göransson. He's done a lot lately. He did he does Mandalorian.
Oh,
he did Tenet, Black Panther.
Okay,
I know he's done a couple other things. I knew I recognized that name probably because it's on every episode of Mandalorian. He did the score. Yeah, I was gonna mention it. It's subtle, but it's not
perfect. I think a good match for Nolan. One thing I liked, I want to just mention, there's a cool thing about Oppenheimer, the character. They sort of explain his genius in an interesting way, in an effective way. Sort of like, I forget which character says this to him, because he's kind of failing in the lab in the beginning. He's like, I'm theory, I can't do the hands-on.
Yeah, the experiment,
And then and someone, I think maybe it was Niles Bohr, I think they said, Kenneth Branagh character.
Mm-hmm.
So something like, there was some comparison about reading sheet music, but he's like, it's about whether you can hear the music, not whether you can read it, sort of a thing. And what we get is people like Oppenheimer, that genius level, they just see the world differently. And
right.
they can look at something not at face value. They can see through it into like its component parts and how they work, that sort of thing. And the movie will intersperse little bits of visual effects to kind of illustrate what's going on in his mind.
Well, that's another kind of line that keeps kind of getting brought up in the movie is it's, what does he say, like, it's only theory until, you know, basically it's just a theory until it's
in reality,
until you can prove it, you know.
Right, yeah.
It's still, you know, it's a theory. I forget the exact,
that was a lot of the
quote,
question about the actual bomb. And I think in the trailer, this is not spoiling, we're about the chain reaction that could,
well,
possibly,
also this is his history as
right.
well, so spoiling. Yeah. I mean,
well, that's not something I had ever heard of. Yes, spoilers. Yes, good point. That is, they,
it's like saying
make a bomb,
well, the Titanic sunk. Oops, spoiler.
Man, so yeah, but there was some real questions about they didn't know that it could work, and then you know, what happens when you actually set this thing off?
Right, yeah, well, like
it's gonna ignite the atmosphere and end the world
again. The chain reaction, you know, it's crazy, and I think proud of myself there. You know, the whole Florence Pugh thing I said about sets off a chain reaction, like everything that happens in his life sets off a chain reaction. Everything that happens in life sets off a chain reaction, and boom, 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 boom. These things happen.
And a lot of it was things that he could have avoided himself
because
of his level of genius. He's able to get away with a lot of things that mm-hmm. people can't. And he sort of, I don't want to say he plays dumb, I don't know if that's quite the word, but he just kind of does what he wants and then just keeps quiet about it. And
yeah, he doesn't.
He can just skirt back to the or go past it, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, he kind of
doesn't take accountability for himself.
Doesn't necessarily lie, but he holds back the truth by just being silent, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And it
for the most part works, you know, until he kind of runs up against someone who doesn't quite like him.
There was there's a interesting cameo that I had no idea was going to be in this movie, but I'm not going to say who it was. But well, another interesting thing too, but as we're wrapping this up here, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, I guess, you know, with the last name, it's kind of obvious, but Oppenheimer being Jewish and this being around World War II, and, you know, so you have that whole aspect of it as well, even though the bombings did happen against Japan, which, you know, they were on.
The Jewish thing is interesting because there's clearly scientists like Einstein that are fleeing and different other scientists out of Germany. It becomes a strength, but actually in an interesting way, it also became kind of a weakness that we later found out. Well, I'll just say you there's solidarity, but that belief in that solidarity makes you vulnerable to those who might be trying to steal what you're doing.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's essentially a 3-hour epic. It will keep you engaged the whole way through, unless you're stupid like me and can't understand what's happening. No. But you know, again, I might watch it again and be like, man, this is too. Because again, at the end, it did seem a little like boom, boom, boom. Like it was just almost like overwhelming amount of information was being thrown at us.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you go to my house?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going home. I'm dropping you. You guys coming over?
Yeah. I was like, what's happening?
Where's it going?
But yeah, all this information, I don't know. For me, it was like boom, 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 because it was especially right after that whole, stimulating thing with the testing of the bomb. And
right,
you're just recovering from that.
Yeah.
And then it's just like this. I don't know. It just was a little too much again on this first viewing, but
second viewing I think would help,
but I have to review it on the first viewing. I have to give my official rating here.
Yeah, overall I was hoping to be blown away and I don't think I was.
Yeah I mean, I don't
want to say disappointed,
at first when the testing scene happened, I was like, okay, this movie's going to blow me away. But then everything that happened after that, I was let down a little bit. I was like, that was kind of a
it was kind of a
weak follow up.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it was the epilogue. Yeah. Is that what's after? It was like an extended epilogue.
And you're back in Washington with these committee hearings and this other closed door hearing. I didn't care about it.
Right.
I got it.
Right.
Okay.
Didn't get it, but
but you understand the motivation of one character to do something to another based on some. It's all political.
Right. Yeah.
I get a leg up by putting this person down.
Right.
By humiliating them, I get whatever. So, but this is like kind of going on for a while. And you're right. After that's why I wanted more more bomb making and bomb. I wanted more blow up.
Yeah.
I wanted to make things go boom more.
I want kaboom. Come on. Give me more kaboom. I wasn't blown away by this film. I could have been, but yeah, that whole last 45 minutes. I'm glad the last scene was what the last scene was, because then that brought it all back and I was like, okay, this is a solid movie. Like,
definitely.
I was scared, you know, Christopher Nolan always usually sticks the landing on at least an end scene, you know?
Yeah.
He always leaves you like, ah, this is a movie. This is what movies are about.
I have to think more about where I'd place this one in the Nolan. To me, somewhere in the middle for me. It's not as good as his best, not as bad as his worst. I mean,
he doesn't really have worst is the thing with
him,
too.
I think Tenet's a worst.
Yeah, I mean, I like it more than most people, but it's definitely, for him, it's one of his weaker films, that's for sure.
And the third Batman. But anyway, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. But I don't know, so I think that's as much as we can say. I feel like we're kind of dancing around, we'd have to start spoiling. So I think maybe it's a good point to, first, I'd just recommend. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. go see it over Barbie. I'm assuming, unless we go see Barbie and are somehow blown away.
I know. Oh my God, you have to see Barbie.
Do you want to do a rating first?
Sure. So yeah, I mean, kept me engaged the whole way through. So, again, mesmerizing, the cinematography, the acting.
One of the most beautiful films I've ever seen.
Yeah, definitely. And seeing it in the 70mm format on film. I don't remember the last time I've seen a movie on an actual film projector.
It's just so nice.
Yeah. So I am going to give this movie 4 stars. I'm going to give it 4 stars. I'm going to give it 2.5 buckets of popcorn. Again, I think it drug a little at the end and didn't... I think it could have been cut. You know, there a lot could have been cut in that last 45 minutes. So yeah, 4 stars, high quality film, entertainment wise, 2.5 buckets of popcorn.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the stars. It is weird to say. I think it was too long, but I also loved every. I was never bored.
Right. Yeah.
that's a very strange place to be in. It's just that I wanted more. I guess it's a hard thing to just. You did okay.
Yeah,
you
there was you needed that one more scene where if there was one more H or A bomb type scene again, then possibly I could say this film blew me away.
You did something. You wrote this amazing dialogue. You shot it perfectly. The actors were on point. The thing is gorgeous. I just wish you were talking about something else.
Can you not talk
Take
about
the
this?
Same skills and talent and just change the story for me, please? And I would have found it much more interesting. Right. It sounds so dumb for me to say that, but
just change those words a little. Change.
Instead of like being in a Senate office, just go anywhere else.
Go in the desert and I don't know. Put
back
off another
to the
bomb.
Desert or yeah. So, or yeah. It's overall. I think 4 stars. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah. No. 100%. Yeah.
Not have it in the movie.
Right.
God.
So what's your buckets of popcorn?
I don't know. It's like, just 2.
Yeah.
2 buckets.
Oh, yeah, you're not a have guy.
Nah, 4 stars, 2 buckets. I feel, I guess this one's going to be one where we're going to have to stew over.
Yeah, 100%.
This is my initial reaction. Not quite disappointed, but kind of at the edge of it because I think this could have been an all-timer, and it's not.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. Do you want to give a rating, Lauren? Nope, she doesn't. All right, cool.
No.
The Peanut Gallery does not want to give a rating. But Oppenheimer, I'm looking for... And speaking of Oppenheimer, we did do an episode on The Prestige because Christopher Nolan has a movie out this week. We'll release that after this review, but stay tuned for that. BlockbusterMentality.com is where you can get all the updates on our episodes. Follow us on Twitter at BlockbusterCast. And Instagram at Blockbuster Mentality. Where can they follow you, Dave?
At Dave_Quist.
There you go. All right. See Oppenheimer and see Barbie. Tom Cruise is in his interview. He said he's going to see Oppenheimer first and then Barbie, make it a double feature.
He's like the spokesman for movies,
yep,
basically.
Absolutely. And SAG and WGA are on strike, but whatever. All right, folks. Well, that is it for us. For Dave, I'm Ben. And as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys
at the movies. Peace.